32GI. Leading sports nutrition provider. Focused on health and performance. 32GI. Trusted sports nutrition advisors.
As we continue our build up to the Comrades Marathon here on 32GI Sports Nutrition, it's a great pleasure now to welcome a former winner of the race, Sean Micklejohn, the champion in 1995. Ironically, Sean ran his first one, and I'm not a youngster anymore either, the year I was born. Sean, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Sean, this year is going to be a big one for you, a special one. I mean, of course, you've won it, which is fantastic. And I know you've taken quite a serious break in just after the 2000s. But this is going to be your 30th. You're going to be a triple green, hopefully, at the end of this year.
Yes, I'm very excited about it, David. It's like, you're 3 hours ready for a win. I'm so excited. The next few weeks are going to feel like forever. It's a huge milestone for me, just getting to that number.
Well, Sean, great to have you on the line. I must ask you as well. I mean, you talk about it being a win. You have a fantastic record you've been upholding. You've never run sort of lower than a silver, which is under 7:30. And, you know, it's your years are advancing a little bit now. Does it, you know, is it something that you feel year in, year out that it's going to be tight, or do you still feel like you can comfortably dip under that 7:30?
Yeah, I think the years that I've gone over, Stephen, was my very first one back in 1982. And then last year, then I struggled with plantar fasciitis and a bit of a heel spur. So I think if I have a good 3 months under the belt, which I've managed fortunately to have this year, then I think a sub seven should be on the cards, yeah.
Sean, what do you think is the key to longevity in Comrades? I mean, Barry Holland and Louis Massain have, you know, run non-stop. They're about to break the record if they both finish this year. Yes, they're anomalies, but from your, in your opinion, what is the longevity for a Comrades runner? How do you manage to run so many of them?
I think it's really about planning your training carefully and not racing often. So you have the months where you really focus on doing big mileage and a few races. But then you also have those months where you back up quite a bit and running is more relaxed and it's not as intense. So it gives the body time to recover. And that's, you know, my whole running career has pretty much been based around combat. So it's the race that I've chosen that I want to do well in. So that's probably the main reason why I've managed to keep on going at a fairly competitive level. As a master now, still hitting the other side of 55, so the youngsters are coming through. I'd like to think that on the day, being 56 years old, I'll be able to give it my best shot. Because again, I've just chosen Comrades this year to be the race that I want to do well in.
Well, you say fairly competitive. I think, you know, year for year, you're extremely competitive still, Sean. I want to go back now to 1982, that first one, just to give people an idea, because sports nutrition has come a long way. Things have changed. Ideas have changed. If we just look at Prof. Noakes, you know, the law of running when it was all about carbohydrates, now the shift to being more fat adapted. What was your nutritional plan like back in 1982? What did you sort of eat before, and how did you get through the race?
It was quite funny, actually, because I was a varsity student at the time, so we were clueless. We had just started running as a hobby, and we had a rather nasty fall, so maybe there was something in that in a couple of years. We were clueless. We didn't really have any idea on sports nutrition as such. It was only in the later years when my running started improving, then I started reading books like Sports Running and trying to improve a bit on diet and what you eat and drink on a race.
And just from that first experience in 82, your running started improving. Now 95, you're competitive. You've taken, 94 off to go race internationally. How had your diet adapted in that sort of space of, what's that, about 13 years?
It was, a bit of a professional approach. I would often consult with nutritionists. I even used to go and Prof. Noakes after doing certain runs, we'll test my blood sugar on the run, tell him this is what I've drank, and this is how often I've drank, and my blood sugar was either stable or too high, too low. And then I tweak my, that's for the drink fuel on the race, in terms of nutrition at home and the 2 meals a day. I think with running, we're pretty lucky that we can pretty much get away with eating what we like. I think it's because we train so hard, we work up an appetite, we burn it off. But without, you know, obviously the obvious thing to avoid would be your fast foods and takeaways and patties and stuff like that. But it was pretty much what I would consider a normal average diet. It's only in the years when I ran full time in that I was a lot more picky and fussy about what I ate. But it was red meat, fish, chicken, vegetables and fruit, and still ate a little bit of carbohydrates the course of the day, but not high carbs.
So there was whole change in more recent years towards sort of more fat, more, as you say, green leafy vegetables, chicken, fish. It wasn't really an adaption for you because it's the way you've always eaten.
Pretty much so. It was quite radical at one stage. After the 6 years of not running, I put on 15 or 16 kilograms and felt terrible, obviously. And I went to see a nutritionist who then advised me to get off meat, dairy, sugar, and alcohol. Which I did for 12 weeks properly, and that enabled me to lose all that weight in a very short space of time, and that got me back into running again. And it seemed to resemble a bit of a banking diet because it was pretty much the same time when Prof. Dirks was introducing the banking approach. So a lot of people thought I'd gone on to banking, but I hadn't really. I was just been doing something very similar.
Sean, No 32 GI, you use the products quite often. How do you handle, for people out there about to do maybe their novice comrades, or they still have only done a couple and they're playing around with their nutrition, how do you fuel around the comrades in terms of adapting and putting supplements or sports nutrition, should I say, rather, into your diet for the race?
Yeah, I think it's pretty, the obvious thing is it's very important to try it properly in training. So whatever you're planning to do on race day, take the product, carry it with you, have people give it to you, or feed you along the road in your training run. And work on, I always used to work and still do work on consuming roughly 60 grams of carbohydrate per hour. And with that, about 600 to 800 mils of fluid. The trouble is, it's a little bit difficult with a race like Comrade, and that access to the route is not allowable. So, quite a few people en route that are prepared to go and stand and hand you a drink along the way. But it's doable. It's definitely doable. If you can't feed off the tables that are there, and there's plenty of tables to get whatever you need in terms of the carbohydrates, whatever form it's going to be, Coke or other drinks that they have. I'm not too sure what they stock the tables with now, but I feed from my own 32 GR product, which I have strategically placed along the route. But the rule of thumb is to get 60 grams of carbohydrates every hour from the first hour. And if you've loaded or hydrated a bit before the event or for a couple of days, you should go into the race pretty, you know, well-fueled. I take my first drink at about 12K into the race. And thereafter, roughly every 6 kilometers.
Interesting. Thanks for that. But you talked about access to the route being difficult. I don't want to get too much into politics, but a recent article with we've got the Moses Babida finish this year and the club tents won't be there. So there's been some backlash of that. But taking that aside, Moses Babida, you see slight changes to the race every year. But, you know, the 2010 World Cup, it's an impressive stadium. Of course, a little bit longer this year. What advice do you have for people? I mean, it is going to be special, that finish. It is going to be a bit longer. I know a lot of people worry it's this, but when you've run 90 or 89 Ks, whether it's 89 or 90, what advice do you have to the guys who are sort of stressing a little bit at this stage that it's more than they bargained for?
Like you said, it's just that one extra K. I mean, it's a long race, 89 or 90 Ks. In 1995, they took us around Pinetown, and that made it 91 Ks. So, you know, the route does change. I don't think the runner must get two full captains and total distance and that. It's a good approach to take into the race. So I think you start counting down from kilometer one, in other words, 89 to go, 88 to go, it's going to make the day very long. So I think bearing that in mind, I'd just break the race down into shorter sections of roughly 10 kilometers each. And you deal with that little stretch of the time. That way you reach the race without even noticing the total distance you run. I ran in more recent years. I ran from one body to the next body. So my mind is on the race floor, but it's also on who's the person waiting to beat me and hand me a bottle. They take your mind off the distance because that's going to make it tougher than it is. Tough already, but yeah, just you know, have company along the way and don't get caught up in how far this race is going to be. Just try and enjoy it and break it up into little sections.
Some more great advice there. 1995 champion Sean Micklejohn with us on 32GI Sports Nutrition. Sean, have a great run this year. Enjoy your 30th, and we will be following and hoping that you do dip under that silver medal mark again.
Thanks, David. Appreciate the interest. Thank you.
32GI. Leading sports nutrition provider. Focused on health and performance. 32GI. Trusted sports nutrition advisors.